Well, this morning, I'd like to share with you from, if you go ahead and turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. The first 3 weeks of this fall season, or perhaps this winter season, depending on the weather. I thought it was fall, but instead of the leaves falling, we had the snowfall. But the first 3 weeks or so, I shared a series about part of our motto, following Jesus together, about loving God, loving people, and serving others. And the first 3 weeks, I talked about loving God with everything that we have, in every place, based on the place that is in us, and then as well, in every time. We talked about loving God, how you love God in every time. It's out of covenant, for better, for worse. But this morning, I'd like to talk about the second part of our motto's second line, love God, love people. And two things I want to share with you about loving people, and both of them have to do with sharing the good news of the gospel. How many know that the gospel is still good news? It is good news to people. Sharing the good news of the gospel with people who don't yet know what it looks like to have a relationship with Jesus. This much is clear. Our mission has already been given to us. We don't have to improve on the mission statement that Jesus has given us, to go and make disciples. We don't have to change that. We don't have to adapt it. Jesus has given the church a mission statement: go and make disciples, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What a disciple is probably needs some clarity. If we were to ask everyone in this room what a disciple is, we might come up with variations of different answers. And so in November, when we come to the part of our mission statement about following Jesus, Pastor Chris is going to spend 2 weeks with us talking about that very thing, about discipleship. But one thing we don't need to do is change the mission statement. That Jesus was very, very clear on that. But for the next 2 weeks, I'd like to talk with you about our motivation behind the message, our motivation behind the message, and the message itself. And so for today, as we look at loving people, God's love is our motivation, and God's love is our message. And so we're going to look at God's love as the motivation. Why we do what we do, we are motivated out of God's love. And the message, next week we're going to talk about the message is actually the message of God's love. Jesus said this, and we looked at this a few weeks ago, when he was asked what the greatest commandment is. He answered and said, the first and greatest is this: you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then he'll go on to say that the second, there's so much similarities to this, the second is like it. It's to love your neighbor as yourself. On these two things hang all the law and the prophets. Love God with everything that you have, your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In this verse, Matthew 22:39, the second is like it: you love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is actually quoting the Old Testament, coming up with this answer. It begins, it picks up in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. In your Bibles, there'll be a new heading. For the most part, Bibles will say this: the moral and ceremonial laws. But in verses 1 and 2 of Leviticus 19, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for the Lord your God, I, the Lord your God, am holy. And he starts out this discourse in this part of Leviticus chapter 19 with saying, you need to be holy, for I'm holy. And then he'll continue in a number of verses explaining moral and ceremonial laws. And then he'll come to this verse, verse 18. And in the midst of that, he'll say, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. And this is what Jesus quoted: but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I love how that reads, or at least how I hear it, and maybe you hear it this way too. I wonder. I hear the command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, because I said so. I am the Lord. It's not this open for discussion, open for option. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord because I'm God. Because I said so. And it's this strong, strong statement that he makes. Why do we love our neighbor? Because he said so. And then Jesus explains, and here we are in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 30, explains a story when someone asks him about, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, putting on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? Jesus wasn't asking a rhetorical question. There was a pause, and he was looking for an answer. The man replied, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said this, and Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. It's this story that Jesus unfolds for us. There was someone who was wounded and beaten, robbed, left half dead. That was one of the neighbors. The other neighbor was someone who had the ability to help and did. Someone who came along, saw the need, had mercy, was moved with compassion, had mercy. In fact, it says, he who showed mercy, not just possessed it, but showed it, demonstrated it. That was the neighbor. And Jesus will say to him, and he'll say to us, go and do likewise. Go and show mercy and give practical help to those who have been wounded. When I think about loving people, I'm not just thinking about loving people in this room. I'm thinking about winning people to Christ, sharing the good news, the gospel message with people who don't yet know what it means to have a relationship with Jesus. And that's our mission. Go and make disciples. Go and take the good news to every corner of our world, to every place. Go and take the good news of the gospel that there's a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We'll talk next week specifically about that mission. But I wonder if we were to think deeply about ways that we could care for hurting people, motivated out of a sincere love. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Motivated out of a sincere love just because they're human. What difference would that make in the sharing of the message of God's love? We need both the message and the motivation. When I talk about loving people, it is true that not everyone is easy to love. But everyone is worthy of love. If at any point in this sermon you think there's an amen moment, feel free. Not everyone is easy to love. We don't get along with everyone. And sometimes there are very, very difficult people in our lives. And sometimes we are the difficult person. That wasn't the moment. Yeah. But everyone is worthy. Everyone is worthy of love, of being loved. Two people, the priest and the Levite, declaring that they're followers of God, avoided helping. Listen to what their actions said. I'm following God, so I don't have time to demonstrate His love to you. I'm following Him, so I don't have time to demonstrate His love to you by helping you. We will have some pretty strong words spoken to us by John, who will say, if you talk about loving God who you can't see, How does it work out that you can't love people you do see? We'll talk about there's an issue of integrity and truthfulness. How can I say that I love God who I can't see if I can't demonstrate love to people that I can see, people made in His image? Loving God and loving people are so connected. If my love, I do not say this as a condemning point. Do not hear it in your harder life as condemning. This is my statement. It may be yours as well. If my loving God does not translate into loving people, I need to examine the depth of my loving God. If my loving God does not translate into loving people, I need to examine the depth of my love for God, because I know what He's called me to, and it's love people. It's why we're still on the planet. Loving God and loving people are so connected. Our motivation for the message of sharing the good news with people must be rooted in love. God's love for them, which shows up in His love through us. Two verses. Shout this to me. Shout this to me. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. When we use the Christian word called evangelism, this is it demonstrated. God so loved the person, the world, people. God so loved us, He did something about it. And He didn't wait for us to get our act together. He didn't wait for us to clean up. He didn't wait for any of that. For while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scripture uses the word demonstrated. Because love is more than a feeling or a passion. It's a commitment. And it's a choice. And it's a demonstration. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The motivation, He so loved us, He came to save us. And He brought this message of love. Jesus gave His life so that a way could be made where we could have a relationship with the Father. God lived this example. That's evangelism. Loving people with His love. That's the motivation. Love is defined by this very act. That was not the very act. Not even a little bit. By this we know love, John tells us. By this we know love, that Christ died for us. So we ought to love our brothers and our sisters. So we ought to love people. The definition of love. I'm so grateful for 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. I don't at all believe that's the definition of love. That's how love acts. Love is defined by John, 1 John 3:16. By this we know love, because Christ died for us. The definition of love. It's what He did. And without love, Corinthians tells us, we just make a lot of noise. Paul wrote this. For the love of Christ compels us. Compels us, constrains us. It's this same concept where God says, do this because I am God. Love your neighbor. And it's His command, but it compels us. His love that we've received, it compels us. It means it constrains us. It takes us captive. It confines us. It leaves no option. His love compels us to love our neighbors. And that's that motivation that takes us to this. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us, everyone in here, all of us is the us, has given us, me and you, this ministry of reconciliation. It means to make friends again. There's a divide that has happened. There's a separation that has taken place. And God has called us to, by His love, bring that reconciliation together. Watch, it happened for us that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. God did this through Jesus. Jesus so loved us, He gave His life for us. No one took His life. He gave it. Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to Him, to them. Didn't come and just tell us how wrong we were about everything. Didn't come to condemn us. But instead, has committed to us now the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's our motivation. It's the love of God which compels us and constrains us. It's not a duty or obligation. It's motivated out of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Just before I give you four practical points, I'm going to ask you to do something. And I was just reminded as we were singing the song of an interaction I had with Steve this morning. He's sitting down in the lobby, and I came to Steve, and he had his coffee in his hand. And I knew it was sacred. And so instead of reaching for his right hand, which his coffee was in, I reached out my left hand and we shook hands and explained why you're holding your coffee. He said, I can do this. And he switched hands. And then we shook hands again, and talented. He had it. And I thought this morning, before I share these four points, would you let go of everything? Don't just hang on to something from one hand to another. I think God wants to give us something this morning, and it really has to do with the four things I'm going to give us essentially as a charge. But would you just somehow open up and say, God, I'm willing to receive what You have for me. It's not just my various 4 points or sermon points, but to say, God, I am open to receive. I'm just going to let everything go right now and open to receive. I'm going to let go of preconceived ideas, and I'm just going to let go of it all. God, whatever You have for me, show me a glimpse of Your glory. Reveal this now. I'm not hanging on to anything. I'm praying that You will speak to me in this moment as a response to the call to reach this world with His love. Number one, would you accept that God loves you? Accept that God loves you. Just let that be settled right now. God loves you. There's nothing you have to do. There's nothing that's left undone for Him to love you. God loves you. And unless we get this settled, the rest of it's not going to make sense, because you can't give something away that you don't have. You need to be able to, from this place, when we talk about, I know God loves the world and God loves everybody else, but me, He's got troubles with. Would you let that be released? For some of you, say, Barry, I got that settled. I'm good. We're good. For others, it may be more of a stretch. But for all of us, can we just come to this place and say, God, I accept that You love me, and receive that this morning. And then secondly, make the choice. Out of that, here's the motivation of what we're going to do. I accept that You love me, and I am going to not only receive that, but I am going to pass that on. I am going to choose to love people. And when we talked about loving our neighbor, it has everything to do with demonstrating this love. But we come to this place and say, I am choosing. Love is not a feeling or a passion. It's a commitment and a choice. It's in a response to being obedient. Love your neighbor because I said so. I am going to make that decision. I receive that You love me, and I am going to choose to love people. And then thirdly, would you ask God? And we will pray this in a moment. Would you ask God to fill you to overflowing with a love for people? See, first we make the choice. We're not going to make the choice after He fills us. We're going to make it before. God, I am choosing to do this. Now I open my life by the power of Your Holy Spirit to do this, because I can't do it on my own. But I already set the direction. I say, yes, in obedience, I choose to love my neighbor as myself. I am going to do this. God, I receive that You love me. I choose to love others, and now I ask you to fill me to overflowing with your love for people. See, because it has to be from him. Otherwise, people can spot a fake. People can spot insincerity. I remember as a Bible school student going out to witness, and I remember being down in TD Square, Devonian Gardens, me and a friend were witnessing to a lady, and I remember saying to her, God loves you and we love you. She said, what are you talking about? You don't even know me. And all I had was, I was supposed to say we love you. I didn't say that to her, but that was, I don't know, I'm supposed to tell you I love you. And it was this awkward, the people in your life, it's demonstrating God's love to them. God, would you fill me with overflowing with the love that you have for people, and let it be sincere and genuine. And it's not just a feeling, it's a choice. And the last thing is this. Now look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to demonstrate that love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So when we talk about sharing the message, we're going to talk about the specific message of God's love next week. But when we talk about sharing the message, may it be motivated out of love, God's love for people. We can't get this wrong. For God so loved the world, he gave his son. And it's not just a worldly love. It's not just an earthly love. There is a love of God that is transforming people. Has not the love of God transformed you? Transformed you. When you received this, God loves me. God, the creator of all that there is, the one who said, let there be and there was, he loves me. There is such a transforming power in the love of God. As he sees us for who we are and still loves us and says we're precious and says the ransom of a soul is costly but worth it, and he paid the price by giving his son and Jesus gave his life. Dear ones, God loves you. And when you know that you are loved by God, there is such a safety and a security that takes place in your life. There's a transformation that takes place. May we be those and earlier when I said, would you open your heart and life? And sometimes that's a stretch if you don't know where we're going. So if you didn't do that then, would you be able to do that now and say, okay, I can be on board for these four things, to accept that God loves me. And just to say that I believe that there are people here this morning who had received conditional love from parents, from people in authority, from spiritual leaders, that it's always been conditional. If I do this, I'll be loved. Having to measure up, having to act properly, having to be someone or something you're not. That needs to be broken right now. That's not God. How God sees you. God loves you. And as we receive that, being able to choose to love people. There may be people, as I said earlier, not everyone is easy to love. There may be people in your life, soon as I said that, you thought of someone or someones. Think, yeah, that I'm in a tough spot. Would you choose to respond to the command that is like loving God? It's loving those who are made in his image. Loving people, to make that choice. And then thirdly, saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I don't got it. You don't have to got it. You've just got to receive it. Let him pour into you a love for people that's genuine and authentic and isn't faked. And then watch. Watch today and watch this week as he opens the doors for you to demonstrate his love by helping people. Jesus said this in the story of the Good Samaritan. Now go and do likewise. Who was the neighbor? The one who showed. Not just was merciful, who showed mercy, demonstrated it. And God will open the doors this week for you to love people. That's the motivation behind winning people to Christ, evangelism. Though the ways that we phrase it, that's the motivation why we take the message. It's because God loves people more than anything. May that be true of us.